Hi, this is Vision Destiny 2018, Session 2. Basically, I'm going to be sharing sort of some of the revelations from 2017 that I had in conversation with God, some of the things he said, some of the things I had revealed in encounters, the things that are relevant for today, 2018. So what's the application for me, the church here, for the wider church, some of the things you have to apply for yourself and look to see in what God is talking to me about, how that applies to you. Make it relevant. We're in for a bit of a wild ride of discovery, I believe, continually as God unveils himself. You know, our core beliefs, the things we might have held as strongly, are going to be challenged by the extravagantly revealed love of God, who's Father, Son, and Spirit. As he unveils himself, it is going to remove the image that we thought we had of God and reveal his true nature, character. God's going to reveal himself, so it's going to be like experiencing first love all over again, truly discovering who he really is and engaging him and experiencing him. Last time we saw that we're in for a transition period from a season of justice to a season of grace, the manifold grace of God being revealed, greater grace, grace upon grace, where we're going to be endued with God's enabling power to enable us to fulfill our destiny as sons of God. The whole essence, the very essence of God is love. That is being released in greater and greater dimensions that correspond to the grace, the outpouring that we're going to come into. It's going to be love outpoured in grace. I believe the ecclesia is God's chosen vehicle for love to be revealed to the world. Therefore, our relationships with God, our relationships with each other, the relationship the ecclesia has to its local setting, its community, it's absolutely vital that we demonstrate the love of God practically, not just as a spiritual principle, but actually in practical demonstrations of God's love that touch people's lives and transform their lives as they encounter the true living God for themselves. We don't want to be presenting religion to the world. They've already rejected that. We need to be presenting the true nature of who God is so that they can encounter him for themselves. So that means we don't live from a path of self, walking on that path of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, but actually we're walking on the path of the tree of life. And as we walk on that path, it is going to reveal where that path leads through the fiery sword. For us, that means coming through the cross, through what Jesus has already accomplished, and therefore unveiling that relationally to the world around us. I believe the pattern, the mold, the expression of the ecclesia is three as one, one as three. That's the foundational love that we have with God and with ourselves together in unity with the foundation of a bench of three operating in the same relational dimension that God operates. That's the expression he wants to see, serving, servant-hearted, foundational leadership, operating in love that lifts people up so that they can fulfill their destiny and engage God for themselves. So my responses to engaging the fire of God's presence, going through that fiery sword, engaging God. God is a consuming fire. I had many encounters with the fire, and that fire I embraced. I didn't run from it. I didn't try and hide from it. I embraced it. And that fire, that purification, that refining fire, the love of God expressed as the consuming fire, consuming everything in my life, which is a hindrance to who I am as a son of God and fulfilling my destiny. And I made some observations of that, which I'll share. And I embraced the true expression of love's fire in self-sacrifice upon the altar of the temple, as we see as expressed in Isaiah chapter 6, whose purpose is to see the earth filled with the glory of the Lord, expressed in the glory of sonship. I embrace the coals of the crucible of self-dying as a living sacrifice yielded and surrendered to love. I embrace the fire of purification and refinement. Here I am, send me. When Isaiah came before the seraphim, the burning ones, and embraced the coals from the altar, it purified his lips and it purified his generational line lips. And his response was, here am I, send me. Not here I am, because we know I am is the very nature of God, but here am I. I am a reflection of I am. So encountering love's fire stirs passion in my heart. that began to stir a passion and a zeal for the restoration of all things. And the more purification took place in my heart, the more passion I felt to release that into those that I'm responsible for as the head of my family lines. I embraced my place in what always was the heart and mind of love, in what is your name expressed in the four living creatures and in the four faces of your government of love, where I am seated to administrate what will be. This is being seated in heavenly places, standing in God's name, in the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man, in that yod hey vav hey, being in that and expressing that from who I am as a son, that came as I embraced the fire as a living sacrifice. I take my place as a chancellor and ambassador to and for the Joshua generation. That's something that God has called me to do. I encourage you, find the place where you're seated in the authority that you've been given to fulfill your destiny. I call for the light of love to rise, to expose the lies hidden in the darkness of Antichrist demonic doctrines that have twisted, distorted, and marred the image of God, as we see expressed in Isaiah 53 there. I call for Leviathan spirit to be exposed, the twister revealed in the idols of false doctrines now accepted as truth. Essentially, as I encountered the fire of God's presence and it unveiled in me the things which were burnt away and consumed by that fire, I could start to see where who I am as a son of God and who God is, and begin to call for that light, that love that I'd experienced to be shed abroad for others, to have the false images that religion has painted of God destroyed by that fire in our lives. Let the angelic legions go forth with the light of love into the minds of those wavering in the valley, wilderness valley of decision, to those at Gilgal. These are symbolic of what the children of Israel did when they embraced crossing the Jordan, and when they crossed the Jordan and they had to be refined and purified. Let the reproach of the self-righteousness path be exposed by the light of love. Note, this is all about love. This isn't retribution or vengeance. This is love expressed in transformation and change in our lives. Son, there is no ego or self within love. Love that is God is otherly, relational love, conversational love, and the essence of I am is love. Love is the light, the words, the thoughts, the desires concerning others. Son, love is not about needs, because in love there is no focus on self, just others. There is no self anything. As self, as a thought, a concept never existed until the covering cherub placed I into the equation. Son, we do not require worship or adoration because we have a need, but because for mankind it is directed away from self and is an expression of what love is, being the first steps to living outside of self. The pathway of self always focuses on I, but the true pathway of life always focuses on love, which is always directed towards relationship and therefore others. True love never demands of others, but gives others the opportunity to give the others in relationship. Love always seeks to defer, to bless, to empower, to promote others, never itself. Son, it was inevitable, because we are love, in essence, that we would create those to be in our image who would live, who would love, live loved, love living, because living is giving, and we love to give, to bless, and to prosper. That is always God's desire, to pour out his love. We would receive that love and then we would release that love to others. Blessed to be a blessing. Selfishness, ego is what blocks the reception of the blessing. So many focus on the needs of self and are never in the place to receive. Being blessed is always an opportunity to have enough for all the needs, so that the good deeds can be accomplished because the needs are not considered. Seeking first the kingdom, righteousness, is love expressed, because self is not the focus. All worry and anxiety is rooted in fear, and fear is focused on self. The kingdom of God is where love is expressed. It is founded upon it. Love is its very essence. The whole kingdom is focused on others, loving others, righteousness, peace and joy, justice is where others can be blessed, and it's foundational to God's kingdom. Justice was never meant to be the removal of freedom from people, but the giving of freedom to people. That is why the cross is central to justice, because all obstacles to love were removed. All the requirements of man's laws were met, and laying down life because of love for others is now finished. All who were separated are now included in me, waiting to discover the truth of who we really are. Love is joy and peace experience, because nothing is ever missing or broken when the focus is otherly. I love this passage from the Mirror Bible, Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 6. He associated us in Christ before the fall of the world. Jesus is God's mind made up about us. He always knew in his love that he would present us again face to face before him in blameless innocence. Just think of that. Face to face with God in blameless innocence. That's how God sees us, and that's what his love intends us to experience. God found us in Christ before he lost us in Adam. He is the architect of our design. His heart dream realized our coming of age in Christ. His grace plan is to be celebrated. He greatly endeared us and highly favored us in Christ. His love for his Son is his love for us, because we're all his children. We need to embrace his love, embrace that dream, his heart dream, our destiny, embrace it. See ourselves and experience being face to face with the Father, coming before him in blameless innocence, to embrace that love and to be empowered by that love. Son, let love as found in us surround you, shield you, and supply you. Dance in the midst of love. Live to the full in the midst of love. This is the true meaning of you being in us and we being in you. Lifted up on the chariot, the Merkabah. At the beginning of the year, last year, we had an encounter where someone was speaking, and they said, showed us that there was a chariot in the front of our meeting, and if we stood on it, we could engage in that chariot, the Merkabah, would take us back into the realms of heaven. Well, I was up for exploring, so I stepped onto the chariot, and it took me immediately to the Garden of the Father. And I went to the pool that I'd been in before, this sort of really deep blue pool where waterfalls are cascading into it. And I dived in, swam down past the chest. There's a chest in there with gold coins representing the vast sum of his thoughts about me, about you. And I went deeper and deeper beyond into like a tunnel. It was like an artery leading to the very heart of God. And it took me right into his very heart, outside of time and space. And I stood in this amazing, intense light, a consuming light of God's desire for me. And I saw there, that in the center of the circle of the Father, Son, and Spirit, that I was drawn to be in harmony with love. It felt like I was back where I'd always should have been, always where he'd created me, back into the center of his thoughts about me. It was such a powerful encounter. Around love, there is the tree of life, the framework of the mind and thoughts of the heart of relationship. Everything was blue. It was blue, and I was connected to the sort of neural net of the tree of life, an organic flow of life in conversation of I am. It's hard to express it, but I was like in the conversation. The conversation has always been going on, and I was able to discern things that were said of me, things that had spoken me into being, things which were the thoughts of God expressed about my life. And I, as I'm engaging there, it was like Metatron's cube, it was like a living construct of pure thought energy was arranged and connected to the circles of I am, and I'm in the midst of it. For those of you who maybe not know what Metatron's cube is, it is a geometric shape of connections of spiritual connections or governmental authority. That's a pattern of how God has established things, and we can engage in it. And the very first time I engaged in Metatron's cube, I was in the cube. Now, if you look at the the diagram, you'll see some people will see a cube. Some people will actually see a dodecahedron. Some people would see a Star of David. Some people will see all sorts of different shapes because there are lots of shapes contained within it. And they're all meant to be interconnections of how the dimensions that God created are established in relationship with one another. And so I was engaged in the cube. I found myself in this bright blue, amazing place. And it was like filled. It was like being inside a blue diamond. That's all I can express it like. And I looked at one facet that I saw of the manifold wisdom and grace of God. And it was like looking into the depths of a pool that I couldn't get to the bottom of. And it's like when you have a mirror and two mirrors facing each other, they sort of share their reflection off into infinity. And being in this cube, which was a reflection of the facets of God's manifold character and nature and amazing sense, was just mind expanding, really. So Metatron's cube, a living construct of pure thought energy arranged and connected to the circles of I Am. What was before, there was and is framing the desire and purpose to the relational connections of all that is within I Am. Now, do I know what that means? No, but I was inspired when I heard God say it and I wrote it down and I'm meditating onto that because it's a place where it begins to frame who we are as sons of God, connected to the heart of God relationally within I Am, so that his purpose can be outworked through us as we stand in what was before there was, to bring that into what is, to begin to frame that desire into what will be and be part of God's plan to restore all things and progress from there. The wheels within wheels within wheels aligned in organic relational order, and heaven is operating on this wheels within wheels within wheels. There, and again, difficult to describe, but when you encounter it, you feel it, you sense it, and it changes and transforms how you think and what you feel about things. Sonship, the thoughts of desire expressed in the light of suns making up the fruit of life. I am a desire, a thought expressed as a sun that interdimensionally connects was, is, and will be. I am a son of God, conscious of the I Am reality, love, the precepts, statutes, and law, the Father, Son, and Spirit. As a son indwelt and indwelling life, as the river flows through me, agreed in one in oneness. As it is in heaven, flowing as the wave frequency of love, peace and joy, kingdom's essence, expressed on the earth as it flows through us as a gateway of heaven into the earth. We start to resonate with the frequency of God and our soul and spirit come into resonant agreement and our body releases as a river of living water flowing from our innermost being. God said this, son, be bold and courageous with the law of the foundations to bring new beginnings. So I didn't know what the law of foundations was, and I certainly didn't know what that meant to new beginnings. So I began to meditate and pursue it, and discovered some things. Son, you're authorized in the one new man to establish the law of foundation. So being authorized, I went to the court of kings with a scroll and started to release something out of my spirit that has come from these encounters. You know, I didn't go with a law that I'd figured out and thought in my mind. I went having had the encounters and released what those encounters had done in my spirit. I didn't have a cognitive awareness until afterwards. So as a new man, oneness, I express the desire and thought of union. All new foundations must be an expression of love's essence, oneness. All new foundations must have a mandate, a blueprint, as the ark that demands oneness. You are authorized to call for new foundations of oneness. You're authorized to call for blueprints of oneness. You're authorized to call for the relational connections of the beginnings of what will be the foundations of my government. You're authorized to be the catalyst of agreement. New foundations will be the essential element of everything that has the designation new. The resulting expression will be a true reflection of the heart and mind of oneness. Communion will become central to the commissioning, the new, in all its expressions of oneness. Son, let your relationship with us be expressed in everything. Don't partition, fragment anything, or you will not be oneness. Son, you must be one as we are one. Your heart must be open to touch all with love's essence. My desire is that love will be all in all. I love to live inside the consuming fire of God's heart, immersed and submerged with his love. You know, it's a place that I love to be. I long to be in that place. I can constantly be in the now of his heart, in that amazing fire and passion that he has for life. And when you're there, you begin to take on that in your own life, embracing the purifying love in fire that spoils the image of God in me, refined and purified. God started to purify in my heart and in my mind those things which didn't align with my encounters of him, that my life would contain no spot or blemish, that my very DNA is restored to original condition. My life presented continuously on the altar as a living sacrifice that produces a fragrance of gratitude, birthed in love, not obligation, an offering of love that embraces identity in sonship. Son, I recognize desire within your heart for love and call you to come with me into the depths of love. Walk with me once again. Said, where, Father, was my response. Beyond, son, beyond. So we stepped through a micro wormhole, and these micro wormholes connect all sorts of dimensional things. One of them is within our spirit that brings us into Eden, but there are lots of them in connections that I see connecting the dimensional spheres of the 12s of the wheels within the wheels of the circle of the deep. And this is talking about the 12 transverse houses. We stand in the 13th dimension, connected and observing all the dimensions from the center of all sacred geometry. That's again linking to Metatron's cube and to issues around that. Son, this is where the intangible is connected to the dimensional, and the physical and the temporal meets the spiritual realms. This is a point of convergence and intersection where I was standing beyond where I had been ever before. Love's light is the focal point and the gravitational force that holds all together in harmonious connectivity. Son, here is where the conversation is communicated to connect all in all. Come here and you are connected to the tangible expression of I am that is within the inner world of the quantum realm and the outer world of the visible realm. This is where everything has their essence, their existence, their being dimensionally connected within I am. This is the touch point of love's reality, the essence that enables the fabric of existence. Why am I here? Was my response. Son, all authentic governmental authority must eventually connect with I am's love essence of the freedom of the glory of sonship is to be released. Son, don't just wonder. Experience love's essence within the light that is heart and mind and desire. Son, feel me, who I truly am, and feel yourself. Son, live and move and exist from here, the core of all existence. Son, love is more than you can contain, but love's light is where wave and particle coexist in harmony of now that is beyond for you. Son, be so love's light can exist in you, in the place where your heart and mind or spirit are one expression. Father, how do I get there? Son, you are here. Your light was always here. Your sonship essence, along with all my sons, is the light of life here. But the light of love, which is my essence, holds all things within itself. You are within I am, and I am is in you. Are. The faith of God that we live by is the persuasion of the truth that comes from within the relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit. It's like these encounters are unveiling to me a reality of who God is and the very nature and character of God that causes me to believe. even though I don't understand, even though some of the words are beyond what I can even express, I'm experiencing it and it is changing me, and I believe in this being persuaded by my encounters with God. I'm convinced of truth, and that truth is foundational that my life is lived from. It's the foundation. Where did that truth come from? Not by study, not by teaching, but by experience and encountering the truth and experiencing the love and standing in that place where everything comes, where we live and exist and have our being from. We can access that within the very heart of the Father, within the very nature of God. Faith is living loved. Right? Faith works through love. So I have no belief if I don't know that I'm loved. If I do not know that I'm loved, and if I don't live loved, living from that amazing place of being in the cocoon of God's heart and love, if I don't live that, then faith means nothing. Faith is living loved in the full expectation of the inheritance of sonship that flows from the relationship of being included in Jesus, in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the romance of the ages, the heart of God, the lover, seeking to restore relationship with the objects of his love. Jesus' mission was to reveal and then redeem the blueprint image and likeness of the invisible God in human form. The Bible is a mirror revealing our redeemed identity. We behold and become as we gaze in the mirror of our true likeness to discover the integrity of our redeemed innocence. And I would encourage you to read the Mirror Bible. You know, the Mirror Bible for me has breathed new life into the written word of God, because I found that what I used to read no longer aligned itself with who God was and how he revealed himself. And so when I discovered the Mirror Bible, it opened up this mirror that I was looking into God and seeing reflected back this amazing redeemed identity that he has in me. And as we gaze into that mirror face to face in relationship with him, we see the true likeness of our redeemed innocence, the way he sees us. And we become like that which we behold. And as we behold him face to face, we become like him, the image that we were always created to be in relationship as a son. Personal opinion or traditional beliefs cannot compare to the living revelations of relationship with the living word. It's like the living word breathes life. It is the truth. It is Jesus. You know, I want to engage with Jesus. And I found that reading the Mirror Bible has opened up a whole new revelation of the truth of God's word revealed in my relationship with him. The written word of truth accurately preserves his original ideas. It resonates within our hearts, and that's what we need to look at. What is resonating with our spirit? Not just that which touches our intellect, but what resonates with our spirit. The Bible records how the invisible God found expression of his image and likeness in invisible form in human life. So we are made in his image. We are here to express love, to live loved, to love living, to live loving, to demonstrate the very character and nature of God. The Bible itself is about Jesus, the living word, redeeming his image in man. Son, make this truth of the finished work of the cross that has included everyone in me known to all. Son, let this truth, which is the true reality for all my children, to be revealed in an explosion of wonder and awe. Son, call for the love bombs of heavenly reality to explode within the hearts and minds of all my people. Let these explosive truths wreak havoc against the deceptive lies of religion that keep my people in bondage. God wants to release truth. He wants to release love. He wants people to know who he really is, so they can be set free from this terrible image that religion has painted of this angry, harsh, judgmental God, distant deity. Son, I call for truth to be unveiled, reality to be exposed from under the coverings of theology and doctrines that have the enemy's marks of the old stamped all over them. The scandal is in the open, exposed by the extravagant lavishness of love expressed in the complete victory of the cross over the marred image of mankind. Son, produce the legislation that will empower my people to revel in the truth and that will expose all the lies and deception that's been produced religious bondage. The law of truth, and this is the law of truth that came as I again encountered God, heard his heart, went to the court of kings, and allowed my spirit to release this law of truth. The authority of the Son of God as the truth expressed in the sons of God, restored image. This law authorizes the Joshua generation to be champions of truth who will fully reflect the truth, the express image of God as revealed in Jesus. You are authorized to use the truth to expose the scandal of religion. You're authorized to declare, decree, and demonstrate the true reality of your freedom in Christ. You are authorized to release smart love bombs to explode strategically, both to those trapped within the religious mindsets and systems. You are authorized to proclaim the excellencies of the truth that has brought you out of darkness into the creative light of true reality. You're authorized to pierce and penetrate the darkness of veiled minds with love's light to bring freedom of the restored image of sonship. You're to be the demonstration of love's light as you walk the path of the way, truth, and life. In humility, you have the rights as my children to openly flaunt your freedom in joyous abandonment to expose the scandal of religious bondage to works. You have the authority to expose any and all theology and doctrines that is misrepresentation of my character and nature, which is fully revealed in the eternal love relationship within Father, Son, and Spirit. You're authorized to expose the lies that keep my children from their true inheritance as my original designed image of sonship. I hereby confirm and acknowledge your right as my children to display my full image as sons of light of love. Jesus is the high priest who has made intercession. Intercession is not really prayer. It is like the intersection of God and man. And we're called into new demonstrations of engaging God. So new will change the way we pray, because we won't pray to a God who is somewhere else. We'll be talking face to face to a God who we can meet. Intercession is not standing here, standing in the gap between people here, but is engaging God there and standing in that place where God and man connect. He is the one mediator between God and man, not God and believers. He is the mediator, intersection through which God flows to the human family. God doesn't begin involving himself in your life when you believe. When you believe, you will see he has been with you your whole life, forming you in the womb, whispering love to your heart, even when you didn't know him, gently guiding you without control when you didn't know the way. You know, we don't get born again when we pray a prayer. We were born again when we received the life that came from the Spirit through the resurrection. And all died in Adam and now all made alive in Christ. So we are now beginning to explore this relationship. And we want to introduce the world to the God who is their creator and lover and redeemer and wants to at work be, and is already at work in them. We want to expose that. Believing doesn't make him your intermediary, mediator, intercessor. Believing sees what has always been true. Compare the yoke of Jesus with the yoke of religion, righteousness with self-righteousness. Freedom from the constructs of the mindsets of worldviews of religion that has been fabricated from a humanistic path of good and evil. Where did all our views of God come from? From the path of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our experiences of actually engaging in the path of the tree of life are the true reality of who God is. Evil being the hardships, futility of self-effort that we live in, founded by the fear of death. Son, these truths are the foundation of the call for the Joshua generation, my destiny for mankind revealed. Use them within the context of the law of truth to expose the limitations that religion has imposed on my people. My love cannot be overcome. Light cannot be overcome with darkness. Death cannot overcome life. These truths can be used to unveil my people from the belief that they have been pulled over their eyes. Son, write the book. focus on it. Let my creativity inspire you to share your journey to beyond, to inspire others to come out of the wilderness that's robbed them of their relationship and responsibility. So God inspired me to write a book this in 2017, which I've done, called My Journey Beyond Beyond. And hopefully it will be released in 2018 to share some of the interactive relational connections I've had with God and experience, weaving a picture that will help people go beyond in their own lives, hopefully. Son, let passion arise in your heart that will move you to go beyond even where you are now, to live from my heart, to reveal my heart, and then complete the thread of theology where it inevitably is taking you. You will need to define and redefine all that is posted from a perspective of journey, not destination. So we've had to go back over all our teachings from 2010-11 and redefine some of it from where we are now, not where we were then. That's meant redefining some of the pictures and things, because God speaks to us in a way which connects with where we are. And now we're in a different place. We have to redefine some of the things we saw in the past. So the prophetic timetable that I taught in 2011, we're redefining the picture from current perspective. Not that the actual framework has changed, just our understanding of it has now been increased. Son, you can now see that a thread will be prophetic understanding that unveils your journey's conclusion of fulfillment, of fresh revelation, not based on past words, but on current relationship. And that's the way I'm writing the book, as a series of threads that go from beginning and the end and weave a picture of my journey to beyond beyond. The truth is the truth, but you cannot prove it using definitive scriptural evidence, but does not make it any less true. You know, it's like we encounter the truth. Not everything is in the Bible. The Bible itself defines if Jesus' acts were recorded, it would take the world, will be full of books. So truth is a person. And you cannot prove the truth just using the Bible. Because it isn't in the Bible, it doesn't make it any less true. That's what God was trying to reveal to me there. Son, you will have to trust me that what I have revealed is the truth, because I am the truth, not because the Bible processes it. I have judged my household to reveal the truth so that the principle of judgment is clearly part of my character and nature, but is not the prophetic fulfillment of a truth. And there's so much that we have as basic Christian principles that actually need redefining from the nature of God's love. And therefore he will redefine what judgment is, a verdict that gives us an opportunity of coming into the truth. Son, there was a last day. And it was fulfilled, but there will come a last day for every age to come. That is the natural order of things. The end of one age marks the beginning of a new age, and the opportunity for resurrection, new life from death, is continuous because there is no end to increase. In other words, there are ages to come, and for some people, they're still living in one age, while forerunners are living in a new age. That's always been the case. One, the end of an age and the beginning of a new age doesn't mean it means that you end when you experience it, not for everyone. And it's important that people say, because people are talking about ages today a lot, as if, well, one ends, finishes, and that's it. Tough luck. You've missed it if you don't embrace the new. God is continually calling people out of the old into the new, out of one age into a new age, out of one season into a new season. Just because someone else is in a new season doesn't mean that someone else can be in an old season. They run concurrently. God is wooing and calling people out of old seasons into new continually. He's always wanting to bring life, resurrection life. Son, although the ages change for the forerunners, many are still living in the blindness of ignorance. I never stop revealing truth as I am truth. All ages run concurrently, so no one ever loses the opportunity to embrace and experience what for some is old revelation. You see, when God called people to come into an intimacy of fatherhood and sonship, And then he moved those people who responded into an age where he began to transform their lives. There are still so many people who've never experienced the love of father and son, of intimacy and first love. And God is still calling them. Just because others have moved from that position to embrace the change that that brings doesn't mean that God has stopped calling people or wooing people. The cycle of seed, death, roots, shoots, fruits, seed is continuously occurring daily in the process of being a living sacrifice. The truth unveils life as limitless possibilities for daily fruit production as the cycle and circle of life follow the ancient pathway of what was, is, and is to come. Sun journeys unveil the beyond, that is the purpose, the destination is but the end and a new beginning. My depths are bottomless, that is why deep will continue to call to deep, and there is no end, just continual new beginnings and new journeys. You know, it is exciting to have a relationship with God in which everything is continually freshly revealed, face to face, intimacy, all the different facets that are being unveiled, the manifold wisdom and grace of God, his manifold, multicolored, multifaceted nature, you know, is just more and more and more. The depths are bottomless. I love that expression. And God is calling us. Deep is calling to deep. The sound of heaven is calling us home. It's calling us to come. Eternity has been placed in our hearts to woo us back to that place where we can stand in the now of his love and know ourselves and find our identity and outwork it. Son, you are a true explorer of the deep and a pioneer at heart. Keep being who you were destined to be, and let my desire be continually be your compass. You know, and I just want that to be true. The desire for more of him to be what sets the direction and course of my life, to follow him, to pursue him, to go deeper with him, come closer to him, discover more and more intimacy with him. You know, I love the fact that Jesus is with us. You know, I encourage you to embrace intimacy with him. Let the truth and the life unveil that truth to you. You know, I'm so blessed to, you know, have encountered God face to face, to encounter Jesus face to face. You know, this Prince of Peace, this truth, this revelation, you know, I encourage you to pursue it for yourselves. You know, allow Jesus to unveil that which is coming out of heaven. You know, that which is revealed, that which is true. Allow that amazing peace, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, to pour out upon you from the river of life. Stand under the waterfall of his amazing grace. Stand under the waterfall of his mercy and love. You know, allow that to pour into you, to pour through you, to wash all over you. Allow him to put fire and passion in your heart. Passion and zeal and for him and for life. To live love, to love living, to live loving. I'd encourage you just to close your eyes as we just enter a short activation to allow you to experience something. Let Jesus take you into that place at the very depths and convergence of God's heart. Psalm 139:23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Just let Jesus lead you in the everlasting way. Just encourage you just to begin to think of Jesus. Just activate that doorway in your imagination that he would come and manifest his presence with you. Let him take you by the hand and lead you. Just give him permission to examine your heart, give you a health check, an unveiling of truth. Give your heart to Jesus. Ask him to unveil your destiny. The scroll that was written about you, to write it upon your heart, to unveil those aspects that you need now to experience that. Embrace it, Just let Jesus take you where you need to go right now, so you can fully embrace all that God has done for you, all who you are.